Off the Ball Breakfast.
I'm trying to go, is that to our advantage?
Would you
or theirs?
Prefer the murmur of conversation and debate?
Shush!
You're the one who hates shushing the kicker.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
By now you'll have seen the terrible news that in the early hours of Sunday morning, young jockey Michael O'Sullivan passed away after his battle to recover from the injuries that he sustained in a fall on the 6th of February in Thurles Racecourse. We're joined on the line by former champion jockey Davy Russell. And Davy, really appreciate you doing this for us. Really wish this was in better circumstances to be having this conversation with you. But could I begin by asking you, first of all, just to sum up the last 10 or 11 days when you first hear about the fall and the news at the beginning of the weekend that this was going to end in the worst way possible?
Yeah, I actually saw the race. I just ran into the house to watch, as you would. You'd be in and out watching the race and go back out again and watch the race and pour down at the last, and all the lads seemed to be fine. Out I went, and I just got some feeling that I was waiting for a horse to run in one of the maiden hurdles or something, and just wasn't coming up, you know what I mean? And next thing I had a look, I said race was delayed, and kind of start then, you know, and then you look to see who got falls. And, you know, I rang Darragh O'Keefe because I know, I see it was Michael got the fall. And I rang Darragh because I know Darragh sits beside him in the weigh room and they sit in the same line as where I used to sit. So I rang Darragh. I just didn't get a good feeling, you know, I just didn't get a good feeling about the whole thing. And I said it wasn't, didn't look good, you know, but, you know, air ambulance and everything, and, you know, you're always kind of hopeful then. But then, you know, as days passed by, there was, didn't seem to be much improvement. And, you know, thankfully I went up to see him, went up to hospital to see his parents, because I've known the Sullivans for quite a number of years. I worked and lived with Eugene for a couple of years, and Mr. O'Sullivan and William was obviously in the yard. And I remember William was riding when Michael was born, and Alan a few years later. And I went up to see them, and, you know, they were very hopeful that things could, you know, happen. But unfortunately, he fought very, very hard, and it just wasn't able to, he wasn't able to pull through. He just had, his injuries were just too bad.
Jeez. When it comes to your own connection with the family, Davy, is it a Cork connection, or what's how far does it go back? I wasn't quite sure when we picked up the phone to you this morning.
Yeah, it's Cork. Let's like to stick together, I suppose. But no, I'll tell you now. I lived with Eugene and his wife at the time, and the family. Maxine was only a baby, and Michael wasn't born, so I was down there for a few years. I lived in the house with Eugene as a young chap. I had no winner ridden. And I had the most marvellous time down there. Actually, Derek O'Connor was there at the same time as me, and Brendan O'Sullivan, another amateur at the time, and William was riding all the horses. And I spent a number of months there and really enjoyed my time there. They welcomed me in like I was one of their own, you know, and that's the type of family they are. All the way through then, you know, just with Eugene and riding a few horses here and there, and, you know, staying in touch with them. And then I got a phone call. I was asked to go down to the Douala Pony Club. You know, I was going well at the time, and I might have won the Gold Cup maybe or something like that. And I was going well at the time. And they asked me to go down and present the prizes to some kids, you know, at the Pony Club, which you do. And, you know, you don't, it's not something, it's not the most exciting thing. You know, you're a professional jockey, and so you, I went down, and there were two kids in specific down there. Every word that came out of my mouth, they watched me for the second I arrived. And I just took a second and I asked someone, who are the two boys? And one of them was Alan and the other one was Michael O'Sullivan. And I said, Jesus, isn't that amazing how the wheel turns around, do you know? And we gave him their prizes, and I followed him from there on in. He was both of them good riders, you know, better than good, I suppose. I'm a fierce grower for Alan. He's a very talented chap, you know, well educated, done their college degrees, and And he just showed something, Michael just showed something that he was going to be a little bit special. You know, he was awfully neat and tidy, but he explored every bit of the equestrian world, you know, from hunting to eventing, to messing around, riding ponies. You know, he really enjoyed it. And I spoke to him a number of times on different occasions, you know. Obviously, I was in the weigh room with him as a jockey and very friendly with him. But he'd often ring you to say, looking for advice. Or not advice, really, just, you know, his dad was the main man and his mother was the love of his life, really. Do you know, she was beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. And he'd often ring just for what do you think of this or what do you think of that? And I'd give him my opinion and he'd go up and make his own mind up. You know, he was that type of a guy. He asked for advice, but he dissected it himself in a good way. And yeah, he was just a great lad to be around. He never spoke when he didn't need to speak, and not like a lot of us were always running our mouth off, but he was a bit different, you know.
Clearly he would have looked up to you, Davey.
I don't know about that. He just wanted to be a jockey. He'd remind me of myself when I was a kid. You know, you see a set of colours and you were just attracted to that person that was in the colours. I looked up to his father before him because, if you remember, he won Hunter's Chase on Lovely Citizen in Cheltenham. There was only two Irish winners that year. I think it was Shula Raig won the stairs hurdle for Paddy Kiley. Paddy and John Kiley and Charlie Swan rode it, and Eugene and William won the Hunter's Chase. I'm not a million percent on that one, but I think that was the year. But I remember watching it. I remember going, skipping school and going down to the betting shop. At the time, it was the only way we could watch a race, and saw him winning the Fox Hunters. And then you see you go along and you get an opportunity to go and work for them people. And they looked after me so well. It was only right that you'd keep an eye out for the next generation. Do you know what I mean? And he was the next generation. He was 24 years of age. And, you know, there's times in life that things are sad and people have lived their life, you know, but he had so much more to give. And, you know, you'd only enjoy being around him, really.
You spoke there about his exploration of the whole equine world, really. There was that exploration gene that he had in all aspects of life, it seems, Dave. Even the things that we've been hearing over the past couple of days, just about the fact that he was riding in France and had become fluent in French and had really immersed himself in that culture.
Yeah, that was gas. I was actually saw him ride the winner in France, and the lady was going interviewing him, and she spoke in French, waiting for an English, you know, to translate in English, but there was no need. Michael was out. She went to full blown interview in French, which was funny to watch. You know, 1 minute you're a fellow from Lumberstown in County Cork, and he's over in France and he's fluent, you know. But that was him. He was just he spent a bit of time in France. I remember being over there riding out, and typical him, like he'd go and learn the language. There was much point in going there when you couldn't speak the language, you know. And you know, he was able to milk cows, he was able to foal a mare, he could buy a foal. I remember we were stable beside him. He was working for a local guy at the sales, you know, as a groom at the sales as a kid. And I remember the fun we had. We had great crack with him. Do you know what I mean? The humour. He was a bit starstruck by the whole place, but you know, after a few days, we had great crack with him at the sales and things. You know, when he was a kid, and that was the type of fella he was. You know, you could have fun with him. In different circumstances, you know, he was just, and he played GAA. He had a lot of friends from that side of his life and wasn't too bad at it. And you could see by the photos of him, he was neat as a pin. All his gear was spotless clean. He was always very well dressed. And even if he was in his riding gear, he was well dressed, if you know what I mean. He was never out of place. He was a neat chap.
An extraordinary young man is one of the descriptions that's been used plenty of times over the past couple of days. And of course, as a sportsman that's one of the things that we can chat about in a moment that a lot of people will remember him for. But I suspect the extraordinary young man part of his character is the thing that people will most fondly remember him for, Davey, and the human impact he would have made.
Yeah, I think so. I think the one mark that he left was that if anybody spoke to him, they felt he was a gentleman. And maybe he was a guy for the ages, really, because he was a cut off his father now. You know, he is a cut off his father, and his mother obviously is a lady, but his dad was a gentleman. And his grandfather before him and all around him. So he was, it's a trait that comes through in his family, you know. And if you were rearing a chap, you would like them to turn out like Michael O'Sullivan. You know, that's the way I'd be aiming my kids to approach life. His tidiness and his cleanliness and his dedication and his approach to life was very much a pleasing one. You know, he was always out to please people and be there to help someone if you needed it. And, you know, but the one mark he left on everybody was that he was a gentleman. As, you know, at 24 years of age, I'm not sure. I think that era is kind of drifting away slightly. No reason, you know, it's just life, it changes. But he was a guy for the ages, you know, even for the few years that he was with us. He would have left a big mark on people.
As a sportsman then, Davey, you speak about the pristine nature of how he presented himself. Did that feed into how he performed as a jockey as well, or is that an entirely different part of his character?
No, it all feeds in. It all feeds in. Your approach to the day as a sports person begins at 5:30 in the morning or whatever time you get out of bed. That's when it begins, and his approach to the day began at that time.
What he was capable of doing was, if he asked your advice on a race or a race course and you gave it, and I'm one of the people that couldn't always transfer the words that were spoken to into the actions that you do, you know, but he was able to, if you told him how to ride a race course, or if there was a certain horse. I'm involved with a few horses there. I have a very good friend of mine owns a few horses in Ireland, and I look after them. And Michael rode one of them, and he rode him in Galway. And I was just remembering this morning that we went through the race beforehand, and there's no instructions. You don't give someone like Michael O'Sullivan instructions, but you do an ABC of a race and where a pace is going to come from and where everything's going to come from in the race or how things are going to pan out. And 'tis if you drew it out in a map, he couldn't have rode the race better, and he didn't win the race. But he said to me after, he said, I felt maybe I could have won. And I said, you're wrong. You're actually wrong. I said, you couldn't. You can only ride one race. Do you know what I mean? You jump out in a race and the plan that you stick to that plan, and if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, there's always another day. And that's what I said to him leaving. I said, you couldn't have won. I said, you actually rode the perfect race. He just got nipped on the line from a horse coming from behind. And I just told him he was wrong in his reading afterwards, that he actually gave the horse the perfect ride. He gave him the ride that we spoke about beforehand and how the race was going to unfold. And this is exactly the way it was. And that's the way it unfolded. And we were just unlucky to get nabbed on the line. But he had a great way of transferring things from his mind to his body. Do you know, he was just very bright.
Davey, you speak at the start about how you had that instinct at the very start when you watched that race in Turles about how things weren't going to turn out so good. I suspect a lot of other jockeys, when they would have watched the race, would have had a similar instinct, and that instinct can only come from your very unique experience as jockeys. What will the weigh room be like in the aftermath of something like this? Is it something that's spoken about between jockeys, the fact that the mortality that you dance with on a daily basis in your profession has unfortunately resulted in the most horrific outcome?
Yeah, I suppose the weigh room probably in a better place now. You must understand we've been through this before with the loss of Kieran Kelly. In very similar circumstances, different time of the year. But I remember Goran was on the day he passed away. and similar kind of issues. You know, he just had a very hard fall, and he wasn't able to recover from his injuries, and the same at Michael. And you know, back then you kind of you just drove on. You know, now it's not as it's not as tough a place, and I suppose the jockeys are lucky in a way that they have the likes of Jennifer Pugh and Kira, Dr. Kira, who was there in Turles on the day to look after him and to look after the lads and talk to them. And there is psychiatrists. There's anything they want available to them if they need it. So, but that's only on a you know, from personal jockey to jockey if they needed help. But as a unit of a Wareham, it'll be a very, very somber place for a number of months and years, you know. Jockeys and friends kind of, you know, you get over things, but it's the family that will, this will bear its heaviest blow on, you know. And he'll never ever be forgotten in any way, shape or form. But it's his family will probably feel the more of the brunt compared to the lads. The lads will get on with it. They're tough. They'll have to be tough. It's a tough game. You know, it's as tough a game that's out there. And you just have to be as tough as the game, you know. That's all. You know, it'll be hard for anybody to get over this. Even me, when I'm not in the weigh room now, I have a pain in my stomach. With the last 10 or 12 days, and I'll have a pain in my stomach for a long time more, you know. But we'll have to move on and keep going.
Have you been speaking to other jockeys in the last 10, 12 days?
Yeah, I haven't really, no, right. To be honest, and I should. I should bring him all. His agent, Ken Whelan. You know, his partner, Charlotte, and even for Gerard O'Leary, the man that trained the horse and the guys in the yard. You know, that's going to be tough, like, do you know what I mean? But again, it's his family is the main... are the main people in this, you know.
They sound like amazing people, the family, Davey.
They are, and I'm not a brilliant man with words, so I'm only going to rob someone else's words. And Richie Forrestal wrote a piece that they're people from the earth, you know, they're people from the ground up. They're very grounded, and they know how life works, and they know the land. They come from... He comes from good stock, good farming stock, and you know they're harsh people, and but they'll never. There's no reason why it should happen to them. Do you know what I mean? Or it shouldn't happen to anybody. But unfortunately, it's the game we're in, and it's a dangerous game, and that's the line we. That's the line we go along as jockeys. You know, we run that line, and. Unfortunately, Michael stepped the wrong side of it. He didn't step, he was just on the wrong side of it, really, you know.
On a final point, how would you like Michael to be remembered, Davey? Not even in a practical sense, but in terms of how he sits in your own head and the head of people who've known him so well and have had the privilege of working with him or just being his friend.
It's very easy to remember him because he was so nice. He'd blue eyes that are as deep as the ocean. Now, it is like you'll see the pictures of him if you haven't met him. He'd leave a lasting mark on anybody that met him. And his smile and his temperament. He had a brilliant temperament, and how he'd be remembered is just purely as a gentleman. You know, let it be, forget about horses or forget about anything else. Just purely as a gentleman, really.
Davey, I don't really know what to say other than I'm very, very sorry. Thank you so much for painting this picture here for us today. You've been so generous with your time and so brilliant with your words, and all of our thoughts here with you, everybody who knows him, and obviously the whole family of Michael O'Sullivan as well. Davey Russell, appreciate it.
Thanks very much.